Welcome to Strength for Today, the preaching ministry of the Central Florida Bible Church, an independent, fundamental, non-denominational Bible church in Winter Park, Florida, seeking to proclaim the whole counsel of God, to point all to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to do all, as stated in Revelation 1:9, for the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our speaker is John Pereira, pastor of Central Florida Bible Church. You may wish to have paper and pencil handy for important information following the message. For more information regarding prior broadcasts and other sermons by Pastor John, please visit our website, strengthfortoday.info. That's strengthfortoday.info. Now, here's Pastor John proclaiming the strength for today.
Thank you for tuning in to our Strength for Today Bible broadcast. The title of our message today is taken from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. We're going to be looking at a new look at the parable of the Good Samaritan. God's Word reads in Luke chapter 10, reading from the King James Version, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, 'Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And he said unto him, 'What is written in the law? How readest thou?' He, answering, said, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself.' And he said unto him, 'Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live.' But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, 'Who is my neighbor?' And Jesus answering said, 'A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked at him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee.' Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, 'He that showed mercy on him.' Then Jesus said unto him, 'Go, and do thou likewise.'" In our study today, we're going to be looking at the parable of the Good Samaritan, and we're going to have a twofold look. We're going to look at the parable of the Good Samaritan doctrinally, but then we're also going to look at the parable of the Good Samaritan devotionally. First of all, let's take a look. A doctrinal look at this parable. There are 3 lessons that the Lord would have us to receive doctrinally. Lesson number 1 is found in verse 28, and that is that man cannot save himself by good works. You know, Jesus said unto the lawyer who was trusting in his own abilities and his own deeds of righteousness for his salvation, he said, "This do, and thou shalt live." And the tense of the verb do implies continuous action of righteousness, which no man indeed could attain. 100% compliance is necessary for us to be able to go to heaven by our own works of righteousness. And yet the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In the book of James chapter 2 and verse 10, the scriptures read, "Whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of them all." The writer of Galatians in Galatians 3:10 said, "For as many as are of the works of the law." In other words, those that are depending upon their own works of righteousness, it says they are under a curse, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things that are written in the book of the law to do them." You see, Christ, in his answer to this lawyer, when the lawyer asked him, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Christ used in this parable the very, very measuring stick upon which this lawyer was depending upon. He was trusting in his own abilities. And yet Jesus said, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And in this parable, we see the point of failure on the part of this lawyer. Man cannot save himself by his good works. That's why it was necessary for Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to come to this earth. He was the only one who lived the perfect life so that we might be able to have a lamb to take away the sins of the world. Lesson number two doctrinally that is found in the parable of the Good Samaritan is that this parable in reality pictures the sad spiritual condition of the nation of Israel at the time that Jesus Christ came to this earth. This parable speaks of thieves. You know, the typology here is picturing the plundering of Satan and his evil forces. Satan is the great thief who comes to steal and to plunder and destroy. And God's chosen people had indeed fallen among thieves. And Satan, the great deceiver, had Israel in spiritual darkness. And Jesus Christ came unto his own, and his own received him not. The poor victim that came under this horrible beating would be a picture of the Jewish people victimized by Satan's deceptions. In the parable, the priests and the Levites would picture the Jewish religious leaders who could do nothing to save man out of his plight. As a matter of fact, those very religious leaders who seemed to stand in a position to help simply went by the other side. The Good Samaritan, however, in this parable, represents the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, he was considered an outcast by the chosen people, just as much as the Samaritan would have been considered an outcast. There was no room for the Samaritan in the Jews' established religion, was there? And yet there was no room at Jesus, even at the very inception of his ministry. There was no room for Jesus. The third doctrinal lesson in this great parable of the Good Samaritan is that this parable pictures Jesus Christ's redemptive program. Verse 33 speaks of the Samaritan, and as he came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. This is a picture of Jesus Christ in four ways. First of all, I want you to notice that the Samaritan came to where the man was. It says he came to where he was. That's exactly what Jesus Christ did. He left the throne of glory and the majesty of heaven, and he came to lost mankind where he was. Jesus Christ came to where we were. There was once a grandpa who had the great joy of taking care and babysitting for his grandson. And grandpa was concerned because, you see, little Rollo in the crib had been disciplined by mama. And one of the disciplines was that he was not to leave the crib. And oh, the little boy was crying, and his little pudgy wrists and his pudgy hands were reaching out to Grandpa, saying, "Out, Grandpa! Out, Grandpa! Out, Grandpa!" Grandpa had such compassion upon his little grandson. Oh, how he wanted to take him out of the crib, but he was not able to, because he did not want to disobey the mandate of Mama and Papa, who said he was being punished and he was going to be left in the crib. So Grandpa thought, and he thought, and he thought, what can I do to help this little grandson in his plight? And all of a sudden, a light bulb went on. And he quickly took off his shoes and he climbed into the crib where his grandson was. And the crying ceased. And oh, what a wonderful time they had. And Grandpa was able to keep the mandate of Mom and Dad. And yet, he came to where the little boy was. You know, that's what our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, did. God had established his righteous standard, and man, having disobeyed, had to suffer the consequences. But Jesus Christ came to where we were. And he came and climbed into this world where we are. And he fulfilled the righteous commands of God and his righteous requirements. But yet he came to where we were and did something about it. Yes, Jesus Christ is pictured here in verse 33 as the Samaritan, not only because he came to where we were, but I want you to notice that it says here, he saw him. The Samaritan identified with the plight of this one. And not only did he see him as the Lord saw us in our plight, but number three, he had compassion. The Samaritan just didn't stop with pity. He had compassion, and he did something about it. He brought him into an inn and cared for him. And then in verse 35, he went on a journey. What a picture of our Savior, who also went on a journey. After making provision for us, he ascended to heaven, but he said he would come again and repay men for their care of this Jew who had suffered. And Matthew chapter 25 speaks of the fact that God will repay men for their care of those Jewish believers when he returns again. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 38 through 44. I want us to take a look at this great parable of the Good Samaritan, not only through the doctrinal look, but let's take a look devotionally at this parable of the Good Samaritan. I have a question to ask you today. How do you respond to the sinner's needs around you? You know, there were different responses on the part of each one of the characters in this parable. For the thieves, this man was one who was to be exploited and taken advantage of. You know, in our world today, there are many who will seek to exploit and to destroy and to harm lives. That's why Jesus came. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised." But there will be people that will exploit, even as the thieves came to exploit a man in need. I think of people today who are exploiting little children through sexual deviancy and neglect, parents who are neglecting their children. I think of deadbeat dads, and I think of so many that are creating a rock of stumbling and offense to many children. Jesus said it would be better for a millstone to be hung around the necks of those that would cause little children to be offended. Then I look at the priests. For the priest, the parable of the Good Samaritan identifies the priest. Oh, for the priest, this man lying in the street was a problem to be avoided. In verse 31, he passed by the other side. Here was a man who had misapplied the biblical doctrine of separation. He did not want to soil himself. He was too holy, too righteous to go where people were to minister to them in their plight and in their need. For the Levite, this man laying on the street was an object of curiosity. In verse 33, the Word of God says, "The Levite came and looked on him." And the idea is one of long time gazing. He probably said, "My, oh my, I can probably use him as a good sermon illustration on the fruits of sin. Oh, I bet you this man is being judged of God. Look at him, laying on the street, all bruised and bloodied." You know, sometimes we have a tendency to come up with pat answers, don't we, as to why people are found in certain conditions. And I'm sure this man had his pat answers as to why this man turned out this way. And he would probably include him as a sermon illustration as he would be going on his way as a Levite. You know, sometimes we as Christians even have a tendency to kick people while they're down. But you know, I'm thankful for the response of the Good Samaritan. Not only does he illustrate to us what Jesus did, but the parable of the Good Samaritan illustrates what our response ought to be to people in need. For the Good Samaritan, this man laying on the ground was a person to be loved and a person to be ministered to. I ask you today, on our Strength for Today Bible broadcast, you may enjoy listening to our ministry and in the ministries of so many on WHIM and WTLN, and you enjoy the faithful exposition of God's Word, but what are you doing with it? Are you filling your heart so that you then might be able to go out into the highways and the byways and squeeze the sponge out and let others know of the great hope and the great truths that you embrace, so that they might be able to be ministered to? What is your response to the lost and dying of sinners around you? It's interesting. After this lawyer heard the parable of the Good Samaritan, he said, "Who do you think was neighbor to him that fell among thieves?" Christ asked. And he said, "He that showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said, "Go and do thou likewise." You know, the definition of a neighbor Is anyone who you see that you can be of ministry towards? Certainly it begins with spiritual needs, but often it must go beyond that in order to serve as proof of the sincerity of your heart and love for the Lord. Are you demonstrating your love? The Word of God says, "Little children, let us love not in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." May God challenge us to minister to one another, to love one another, to care for one another. I came across a narrative whose author is unknown, and it so applies to the words that we have read on the parable of the Good Samaritan, and it gives a practical application for us. It's called "Compassion is in the Eyes." The writer begins, "It was a bitter, cold evening in Northern Virginia many years ago. The old man's beard was glazed by the winter's frost while he waited for a ride across the river. The wait seemed endless. His body became numb and stiff from the frigid north wind. He heard the faint, steady rhythm of approaching hooves galloping along the frozen path. Anxiously, he waited as several horsemen rounded the bend. He let the first one pass by without an effort to get his attention. Then another passed by, and another. Finally, the last rider neared the spot where the old man sat like a snow statue. As this one drew near, the old man caught the rider's eye and said, 'Sir, would you mind giving an old man a ride to the other side? There doesn't appear to be a passageway by foot.' Reining his horse, the rider replied, 'Sure thing, hop aboard.' Seeing the old man was unable to lift his half-frozen body from the ground, the horseman dismounted and helped the old man onto his horse. The horseman took the old man not just across the river, but to his destination, which was just a few miles away. And as they neared the tiny but cozy cottage, the horseman's curiosity caused him to inquire, 'Sir, I noticed that you let several other riders pass by without making much of an effort to secure a ride. But then I came up and you immediately asked me for a ride. I'm curious why, on such a bitter winter, you would wait and ask the last rider. What if I had refused and left you there?' The old man lowered himself slowly down from the horse, looked the rider straight in the eyes, and he replied, 'You know, son, I've been around these here parts for some time, and I reckon I know people pretty good.' The old-timer continued, 'I looked into the eyes of the other riders and immediately saw there was no concern for my situation. It would have been useless to even ask them for a ride. But when I looked into your eyes, kindness and compassion were evident. I knew then and there that your gentle spirit would welcome the opportunity to give me assistance in my time of need.' Those heartwarming comments touched the horseman deeply, and he said, 'I'm most grateful for what you've said. May I never get too busy in my own affairs that I fail to respond to the needs of others with kindness and compassion.'" With that, Thomas Jefferson turned his horse around and made his way back to the White House. I ask you today, are people able to see the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life and in your eyes? The Spirit of God may be impressing some of you even this moment. Some individuals that have spiritual, or financial, or physical need, you are the one that is in a position to stop and demonstrate the love of Jesus Christ. Isn't it wonderful that that's what Jesus did for us? And the Word of God reminds us that if we say that we abide in Him, we ourselves ought to walk even as He walked. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You who have been broken and stomped on and beaten in this cruel, wicked world, you who have gone astray off the path and have suffered the consequences of what this world does to people, a world that is lost and fallen, are you willing to allow the Savior who came to where you were, paid the price for your salvation? Will you not receive His care for you? Will you not repent of your sins? Call upon Him as your personal Savior. Pray this sinner's prayer. Make it the sincere expression of your heart. Lord Jesus, have mercy unto me, a sinner. I repent of my sins. Thank you for dying on the cross that I might have everlasting life. Lord, I want to be ready when you return for me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. If you've made that decision today, on our Strength for Today Bible broadcast, you contact us and we'll send you some helpful literature on how you can get started right. Worship with us this Lord's Day at Central Florida Bible Church. The best is yet to come.
Thank you for listening to Strength for Today, the radio preaching ministry of the Central Florida Bible Church that meets in the Goldenrod Civic Club, located in Winter Park, Florida, just 3 traffic lights east of Cimarron Boulevard at the intersection of Aloma and Palmetto. For more information about Central Florida Bible Church, to comment on the broadcast, to request a complimentary copy of today's message, or to listen to other messages by Pastor John, please visit our website, strengthfortoday.info. You may also call Pastor John at 407-656-9683. That's 407-656-9683. This is Charles Schaaf inviting you to come and worship with us tomorrow at the 10 a.m. Bible study classes for all ages and the 11 o'clock and 6 p.m. preaching services. Our prayer service is Wednesday at 7 p.m. May the Lord richly bless you as you go forth to serve Him.